And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. And we're delighted, we're very pleased to have Sandra Roosh with us. Sandra is a coordinator here of the Gaza Freedom March, the Canadian branch of that. Sandra, do we have you here on the line with us?
I'm here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, Sandra, thanks so much for making your time available to us. Sandra is a wonderful person. She's fantastic. She is an activist who has been dedicated on this issue since the get-go, and she has been very busy. It's remarkable that she can give us time to do this. Sandra, I mean, I guess we have a lot in common. When I went to sleep Sunday night, I thought that we might be hearing about the progress of the convoy the next morning, that we wouldn't have heard that a helicopter had boarded the convoy with the soldiers and the troops. I guess you were equally taken by surprise. What was your reaction as soon as you heard the news?
Well, you know, like you, I fell asleep, and I got a text message on my phone, so it made a sound. I woke up to find out that two people had been killed, and so I started watching the live stream on the on our website, GazaFreedomMarch.org, and I could hear the shouting, and I was sick. I was just sick. And we decided right then that we'd start our hunger strike in the morning.
Yes.
So I arrived in front of the Israeli consulate at 6:45.
6:45. That's, yes, you were the first action, I believe, in Canada, as far as I know. We had received the email notifications. I mean, the whole world has been outraged, and the email list in Canada, on every list, we heard details about this. And the two first events that we heard about was, number one, your hunger strike, and number two, the demonstration that happened in Toronto that day. I was present there. I might have walked right by you. I was there at 5 o'clock. You saw the demonstration as well then.
Yeah, well, they came and joined us. We had people coming throughout the day. We had a vigil of about 50 people from 12 to 1, but constantly people came and joined us. And so it was pretty exciting, you know, at 5 o'clock to see hundreds and hundreds until we finally reached maybe 1,400 in total.
Wow, 1,400. Yes, I had heard between 1,000 and 1,500 people were present. Actually, it was our Hamilton banner that led the march. They liked our Lift the Siege of Gaza banner so much they asked us to put it right at the beginning. And we'll see if we can lend that to them for the Saturday march.
Okay.
Anyway, I know there's so many actions, and I bet Peter probably wants to jump in with some questions.
Hello, Sandra. It's Peter Leibovich.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. Thank you for being on the program. I was just wondering, at this time, what actions are being carried out in terms of pressuring the Canadian government to, stop being, the most loyal friend of this sort of, criminal regime in Israel?
We're still talking about exactly what we're going to do. I did see some reports just now. I've been trying to go through the 400 emails I got since this morning. But it looks like some of our friends in Parliament are making some statements. But I haven't had a chance to read that whole thing from today. But there are actions planned this week in every single city, cities like around the world. But I think that with so many Canadian cities and so many people taking to the street, it's always the same thing. You know, you've got a right to your member of parliament. Every single person that listens today, every single person that goes out on the street, you have to write to your member of parliament and write to that stupid Stephen Harper. It won't do anything, but maybe at least it'll surprise him to see how many of us know that he's in cahoots with a murderer.
There is a Canadian that's supposed to, that was in custody. Is there more than one Canadian, and you don't know where that stands?
When I asked, I sent for a passenger list as they were leaving, and were there any Canadians aboard? I immediately found out about Kevin Nish. He's the gentleman from BC. So we know of him for sure. This morning on CBC, on the television morning program, they gave three names of Canadians, but I can't prove that, or verify it. So, we'll know more now that people are being released.
The Israelis haven't allowed any legal representation to any of these people, right? So as far as we, until they leave, they're all incognito.
Yeah, it's really difficult to know because of this, information block that Israel does so well. And, we just can't seem to get information out. But it's starting now. What I'm going to recommend to you and to everybody is if you go to either of the websites, the Free Gaza Movement, .org, which is the flotilla's official website. It switches you, I think, to Witness Gaza. And you could, there's a brilliant report that I just listened to before you called me from Hueda. And she's really telling what happened. She was on the ship. She's free now. And she really gives you a good idea. Go to that website. Take a look. At any time, go to our website, GazaFreedomMarch.org. And on there, you're going to find a listing of all the activities. And our people now are adding activities that are happening, actions, and they're coming in by the hundreds.
Now, and I think that this is a critical point because I know some people say, well, what can we do about the Israeli government? But in fact, it's the Canadian government and the American governments that have been enablers in this. And
right.
and Harper talks about their foreign policy towards Israel as if it's an accepted value of the Canadian people.
Right.
When the overwhelming majority of the Canadian people were horrified by what happened to an aid ship in open seas.
Right, and maybe what we're not very good at as Canadians is telling our government what we think and maybe about voting. So, that's what we have to do. We have to write to our members of parliament. And, if we're writing to our members of parliament, we should write to our members of provincial parliament as well because, they've been doing some horrific things too. So I think, with McGuinty going to Israel, we need to be slamming them with our opinions so that they know that we just refuse to be friends with a terrorist state like Israel. We're not going to do it. Not anymore.
That well said. Brendan, we can only do one mic at a time here, so I think Brendan wants to ask you something.
Oh, was I? I was just going to say that, yes, we need to bring a message to the government, and certainly that's what we're going to be doing in Hamilton on Friday, because we're going to bring a message to Harper, and that is lift the siege of Gaza now, along with everything else, stop the killing of innocents and so forth. That's happening this Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. here in Hamilton, just across the street from Cops Coliseum. Everyone knows where that is, so be there at 5 o'clock.
On Bay Street. North.
Yes.
At the federal building, new federal building.
Have you sent that in to us at the Gaza Freedom March so we can put that up on the...
We'll send that out. It's part of the Canadian Peace Alliance list already, so it's part of the countrywide list of events.
Yeah, we got it. Good.
Okay, well, listen, Sandra, I want to thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you.
And we would like to keep in touch. What we would love to do is... as we get more information, have more of a detailed program of what happened on that ship and dealing with the Israeli propaganda side of it.
Okay, great. And I think, wait till Anne, when we finally hear from Colonel Anne Wright. She'll really tell us exactly what happened, and we can know that it's a true version.
Well, if we get a hold of her, maybe you could help set her up to come on this program.
My promise. We can do that.
Well, thank you very much, Sandra.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much. And that's Sandra Roosh, and she's with the Gaza Freedom March.
Yeah, and to get more information, go to freegaza.org or gazafreedommarch.org. Freegaza.org will have exactly what happened on the ship with eyewitness accounts, and gazafreedommarch.org will tell you the list of events that are happening across Canada.
That's right. Now, Peter and I might have some commentary.
Obviously, the ship Rachel Corrie is going to be watched by everybody in the world.
Yes.
You know, what we should talk about the fact that the way the propaganda machine has been working. I think that Mustafa Barghouti on CBC the other day, and of course the Israelis took all the hostages off the ship, and didn't allow anybody to tell their story, destroyed all the cameras, destroyed as much equipment as they possibly could, so we couldn't get the real story, and then they let out their story. Of course, the irony of their story was that they were the victims.
Yes.
That the Israeli military was the victims of unarmed civilians.
Yes.
Who were just trying to save their ship from being
boarded. That's right. You know, and it seems that everything they do, they are the victims. In this case, they tried to make a big deal about what was on the ship. Did they have pipes? Did they have, like, foldable knives that they could have used? They're trying to say that they were armed because they had slingshots with marbles. Anything that they were bringing that was construed as a weapon.
And, of course, because this ship was on high seas, that is an act of piracy.
That's right. In fact, it is legal to resist boarders if you are boarded in the international waters in that fashion. Now, of course, they didn't have any real weapons to resist those commando soldiers that boarded.
And in fact, the Americans make heroes of people that refused to be hijacked. You know that flight that was...
Flight 93?
Flight 93, where the people attacked the hijackers right at the end. They made heroes out of those people. And that's what was happening. That ship was being hijacked.
Yes.
And, of course, the narrative, and the worst part of the narrative, and this is true in Canada, the United States, and Britain, which is the only, by the way, you talk about isolation. When you say that Hamas or the Palestinians are isolated, you better take a look around again, because they're not the ones being isolated. There's only three or four countries in this world that's supporting Israel and what they've done. But when they talk about what they do is reporters on Western media become stenographers for the Israeli foreign ministry.
Stenographers for power is the term that I heard used. It's just what they hear from the government is what they write down. They don't even think about it.
We're supposed to believe they had paint guns.
They're saying that the soldiers brought paint guns instead of real guns, and they only had real guns on their side in case they needed to use them. And despite being elite commandos, somehow they got, they said at the same time they're getting pitched overboard and beaten up. So which is it? Are they elite commandos or not? The other thing is that they try to make it all about who started the fighting on the ship. Well, guess what? If you go 75 miles into international waters and land a helicopter full of commandos at night on someone's ship, you've started it. You started the aggression. It doesn't matter what happens on the ship after that. You are the instigator.
And by the way, this comes on the heels of a vote that we should all know about. 189 countries voted that Israel should be asked to appear in front of the atomic... the International
Atomic Energy Commission and the agency?
Not the agency, nuclear
IAEA,
watchdog,
yeah.
The IAEA,
yeah.
To explain what they're doing with nuclear weapons. And, of course, again, the whole refrain of the Israeli government is that they're being victimized. And then, of course, and then it goes to the final, you know, when everything else fails, blame it on Iran. So what they said, it was Iranian... The Iranians have taken over Gaza. The Iranians have taken over Lebanon.
They said the Iranians funded the ships, the aid convoy, and most of the people were, you know, terrorists and whatnot, and there's just a few activists on board.
And we're talking about activists from all over the world, including many Jewish activists and a...
member of the Israeli Knesset who was imprisoned and they had to release because it was a member of their own Israeli parliament that they imprisoned.
And a Holocaust survivor, an 85-year-old woman was...
Epstein, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a very mixed group of parliamentarians... Nobel laureates, and yet, you know, it is the same refrain over and over again. The question is, when is the Canadian government going to stop supporting this kind of lunacy? Because that's what's happening.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, Israel has isolated itself from the rest of the world, and if it wasn't for a couple of friends, U.S. number one,
and Canada,
this would not continue on.
Okay, well, that was a real attack on the real international community. But
now let's remind...
Friday, 6 o'clock, okay? Five o'clock this Friday, Federal Government Building, 55 Bay Street North, across the street from Cops Coliseum. This Friday, 5 o'clock, across the street from Cops Coliseum. That's it for this week.
This is Unusual Sources and Taxi Talk all together. Till next week, 5 o'clock. This is Peter Leibovich and Brendan Stone saying good evening.